Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for those who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying with multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, I became finally pregnant in 2018, and I'm now finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren. This season of the Finally Pregnant podcast is sponsored by Melio. Melio offers blood tests before, during, and after pregnancy, from non-invasive prenatal tests to general health checks, helping you and your family take control of their health. All Melio tests are conducted by trained professionals at locations throughout the UK, with the results sent directly to your phone or laptop. Plus, every test comes with a personal health report from a Melio doctor. Melio. The more you know about your health, the more you can do about it, and the best source of knowledge is your blood. To find out more or to find a location near you, visit meliohealth.co.uk/health-pregnancy. There'll be a link in the show notes. We've also recorded a bonus episode of the Finally Pregnant podcast with Melio doctor Donna Fullerton, where we take a closer look at non-invasive prenatal testing. Check out that bonus episode in season 4 of the Finally Pregnant podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hello there. How are you doing? I'm well, actually, a bit tired, but well, which is the complete opposite of how I was feeling at the beginning of last week. If you follow me on Instagram, you will have seen that I was truly down in the dumps. It was a low mental health period for me, to be honest. And that's for lots of different reasons. One of them being the fact that grief is not linear. Dealing with the end of our fertility journey is going to take time. And sometimes it's fine and sometimes it's not. Added to that, there was a lot that conspired against me. I had my period. So even though it was kind of like at the tail end of it, still, I guess the hormones are all running through me. I had some serious sleep deprivation. I hope that it's over. But last week she had a bit of a ropey sleep patch. I say ropey. She hasn't really wanted to go down to bed well, which she's usually really good at. And even when she did, she's woken up at about 10 or 11. We've taken her downstairs. I've taken her downstairs. Bob did the Friday night one and watched some Disney. And then she's fallen asleep on the sofa about 3 o'clock. And I don't know, but when she's sleeping on top of me or beside me on the sofa, like, she's big enough that I will do it now, but you hear horrible things about kind of squishing babies and all that kind of thing. So I'm never going to sleep that well until she's a bit bigger. So yeah. And then she's awake again at 5:30, bouncing like full of beans. Where do they get the energy from? While me and Bob like hobble through the day, trying at the weekend, at least, to tag team a nap. So that plus a few other things meant that I was feeling really low, actually. And you know what? I let myself wallow because I've talked about it before, not for a while, actually, but about an emotional detox. I think when you're feeling like that, sometimes you just have to let yourself feel like that and let it out. And that way it can make room for the good stuff, you know, and the good feelings. And so when I was ready, I started looking into what I could do when I was feeling a bit better and what I could do to help myself feel a bit better. And ultimately for me, that is exercise. I've got to the stage after not exercising for a few months because I stopped when I was heading into my frozen transfer. But I've got to the stage where I was ready and ready to get back into it. And honestly, exercise is my life raft. I've said it before. I will say it again. Bob says to me, I'm a different person when I'm exercising, but I just need that switch to flick. Do you know what I mean? Even though I know that, it doesn't mean I can like get myself out there doing it. I kind of sit there and want to go because I know it will be good for me. I know I'll feel good, but you know, I need that switch to flick. And it did, which is brilliant. The second issue this time around with me getting back into exercise is that I've really lost my way with it all. I just, I've totally lost my exercise mojo. Since having Ren, I have tried on two or three occasions to get back into the gym because I really loved weight training before I had Ren. Like, you know, I did a kind of strong, not skinny. I got in the best shape probably I've ever been in with my weight training, but I can't get back into it. And I'm sure it's age and lifestyle and all different things, but I had a couple of lovely outdoor swims at Lido near us, which sadly closed for the season on the weekend. So that's annoying. And I do love a swim here and there. I didn't really do it a lot when I was trying to conceive, but you know, so that'll be a nice thing to be able to do when I want to. And I took Ren last week for the first time in ages, which was great. But that isn't what I want to do for my exercise. So I tried CrossFit. And it was really good. I really, really enjoyed it for various reasons. I'm not going to be able to go back again now till October because I'm having my eyebrow microblading finished on Wednesday and I can't get my face wet. And that means like sweat as well as showers and stuff for a week. And then we are going away for a little while, sent down to Wales. So yeah, I can't go back to October, but I feel good and I'm going to join and hopefully CrossFit will be the way forward for me for a little while anyway, at least. So I'm excited and I'm just generally feeling better, eating a bit better. And yeah, it's nice to know that I'm going to come out the other side, which I always know actually these days. And yeah, that's why I just let myself feel a bit crap if I need to and take that time. And yeah, all good until the next time. But you know, I know. And I have so much support and you are part of that support. So thank you so, so much. I really, really appreciate it. Anyway, enough about that. I want to share some news with you. Clearly not a pregnancy announcement. You'll hopefully know about my finally pregnant yoga and Pilates sessions that I run for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. And if you do, you might be one of the people who has asked me about whether or not we will do postnatal yoga sessions. And I am delighted to say that I've been chatting to Sim and it is happening from October. So it's just around the corner. The class will be on a Wednesday lunchtime. And I am so excited about it. I really, really am, because we've got an amazing family of people that have done the yoga and Pilates sessions. But even if you haven't done any of those, you are so, so welcome. You really, really are. And obviously, babies are welcome as well, because they're going to be small. And yeah, you haven't necessarily got someone there who can look after them. If you have, brilliant, because it is postnatal rather than baby yoga. But if they're lying there, if they are sleeping, if they are needing a feed, that kind of thing, you know, like that is all good. And they are totally, totally welcome. Because we know babies are unpredictable. And I say that, you know, that they might be feeding or that kind of thing. When you sign up, you will have access for the whole month to a pre-recorded class. So if you miss any, or if you want to do it, you know, outside of the class times as well, if little one goes down for a nap and you think, right, I quite fancy doing my half an hour of yoga now, then you have access to that all month, because we want to make sure that you can do it as and when you need it. Also, the classes are a slightly different format to the finally pregnant sessions, in that they're going to be a bit shorter, again, because we know that you haven't necessarily got the full hour. So the actual yoga will be about 40 minutes rather than any longer than that. And then we will have a 20 minutes at the end where you can just have a catch up with the others on the course and, you know, have a cup of tea if you can, swap notes, complain, cry, hopefully not too much. And just kind of catch up and have that time talking to other adults, which is so important. It really is, isn't it? And other adults that get it, I guess, more importantly, within this kind of environment. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So do head over to catstrawbridge.com to book your spot. They are limited as always, because we like to keep classes to a comfortable size. So yeah, head over. There's a link in the show notes. Plus, along with the pregnancy courses, so if you listened to last week's episode where I chatted to Lacey Turner, we talked about the work that Tommy's charity are doing. And I shared that I'll be donating 10% of the profits to Tommy's for all of the courses that are running in October. Now, the reason for that, if you don't know, is that it's Baby Loss Awareness Week in October. And I know that that can be a difficult thing to engage with, you know, when you are pregnant. I went through that myself. We had just got our pregnancy test and it was a couple of weeks later and I just could not engage. And I just want to say that to you now, that is okay. But what I'm doing is kind of talking about it a little bit now to share that we are supporting it, but when it's happening, like, I won't be overwhelming people with that kind of conversation, because like I say, I know that it can be difficult, but we all know that Tommy's do incredible work and I really, really wanted to be able to give something back to them. So yeah, 10% of the profits of pregnancy and postnatal courses will be going to Tommy's for October. Right, over to today's chat, where I am spending time with the fabulous, genuinely fabulous Georgina Horn, aka Fuller Figure, Fuller Bust. Hands up, I didn't know about Georgina until I saw someone I follow share her pregnancy announcement. Now, it's a pregnancy that has come after a long time of trying and fertility treatment, so it is an IVF pregnancy. Please do check out George's page, which is full of the most glorious photography. Honestly, if anyone can inspire you to do a pregnancy photo shoot, this is your woman. It's just divine. It really, really is. I absolutely adore her feed and also her stories where she talks about everything you could imagine. Honestly, I can't even like everything, but generally fitness, her cat, real pregnancy chat and just like loads and loads more. So yeah, she's worth a follow for sure. Right, before we go, please do head over to subscribe, rate and review the Finally Pregnant podcast wherever you listen. Whatever you can do out of those three, please do it. And that's all from me. Yeah, just enjoy the show. Take care. Bye-bye. In addition to this podcast, you'll find lots of other support for the wonderful Finally community over on my Instagram at Trying Years and at catstrawbridge.com. Examples of that support include the Finally Pregnant yoga and Pilates courses and a wonderful community called The Hangout. When you join The Hangout, which you can do whether you are pregnant or parenting, you'll receive a free meditation, access to 24/7 support, invitations to monthly speaker sessions and support groups, discounts, and lots more. Find out more about all of the support available to you at catstrawbridge.com. There's a link in the show notes. Hello, Georgina. How are you doing?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Thank you. Is it Georgina or George? Probably should have asked you this before I started recording.
I answer to both, so you can hit me with either and I'll
know. We'll mix it up, maybe. It's really, really lovely to have you here joining me for the podcast. Thank you so much. We were talking just before we started recording and I mentioned that I came across you when one of my followers, or someone I follow rather, shared your pregnancy announcement. And subsequently, I have just been in awe of your posts and, you know, you sharing your pregnancy journey. So I'm just really grateful to you for the way you talk about it so openly. It is incredible. But it would be amazing for anyone who is new to you to hear a little bit about who you are and I guess a bit about your journey to being pregnant as well.
Well, firstly, thank you for saying lovely things and thank you for having me on the podcast. Like, I think this podcast is so necessary, so amazing. Like, there are so many podcasts out there these days that have answer every kind of calling and talk about every kind of thing. And I just think this is a very, really necessary space. So I am currently in my third trimester with my first pregnancy, which is a little ICSI IVF baby. So my husband and I started trying for a baby, but properly, you know, tracking, fingers up there, checking for cervical mucus, peeing on sticks, legs in the air, that sperm sucking lube that, you know, we all know about.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, the very erotic bit of a squirting that up there. All the sex toys charged just in case we weren't in the mood, diaries out, you know. We properly started doing that in 2018. But before that, we hadn't really used contraception for a while with the thought of, if it happens, you know, one of those, if it happens. But I think I knew quite quickly that there was something wrong because didn't happen ever, never. No matter how much I willed that to just be implantation bleeding, it was always a period. So we went to the doctor at the beginning of 2019 and sort of fudged how long we'd been trying for because we were pretty certain there was an issue. And lo and behold, tests came back saying, yep, you two will probably never get pregnant naturally. There is an issue. You will need assisted conception, basically. And what followed was a lot of fat phobia and a lot of assumptions, being that I am plus size, a lot of sort of reading into that. And I knew I had to lose weight, so I started to lose weight. And it all culminated in fertility treatment last year. Our first round sadly failed. We were left with just one good embryo. The rest couldn't be frozen. That little embryo took for about a day. Had some positive tests outside of my 2-week wait and outside of the trigger shot. And then somehow our second round, we were left with an even worse embryo. It didn't even get a grade and I was convinced it wouldn't take. And somehow that little thing has bang in the middle of the percentile, kicking me right now, like head down already. Like every test, every scan has just been like, peak, like I've had a really good pregnancy, like I still can't believe that's a bit of a through it, but yeah, I still can't believe that a little wonky, as we call this one, because the embryo was not the perfect little formed circle of our first embryo. It was slightly wonky looking. I still can't believe little wonky is kicking me in the, I think that's the bowel at the moment I'm feeling, so yeah.
It's sorry, amazing that with that. no, that's all good. That's all good. And it, like, it's so hard for me to ask. It's hard for people to kind of succinctly put that into, you know, a few sentences, because yeah, that's a quick version. Lots of us, most of us, all of us listening to this will know everything that goes with that and how much of your life that would have actually taken up. One of the points of, well, lots of points that you talked about there, but one of them, the embryo grade, it's amazing to hear you say that you kind of knew that the grade wasn't amazing and yet you're here, like, very happily pregnant now in your third trimester, and that's wonderful. We made a point of not asking for the grade because I know so many people put so much on it. Something that I've said before, I will no doubt say again, there isn't a grading system that is used across the UK, across the globe. Like, every clinic has a different grading system, and so we didn't want to know what the grade was because we didn't want that to impact how we felt about, you know, our chances. And ours were both graded the same for this round. And, you know, one of them worked and the frozen one didn't, as we now know. And it's just a reminder to anyone who's going into a round of treatment or around or in their 2-week wait that grading isn't everything. It really isn't. And you are living proof of that for sure. So that's really great to hear. Can you talk to me a little bit about finding out that you were pregnant? How was that?
Yeah, so like going back to what you said about the grading, we definitely, I wish I'd had that headspace, because our little 5AA, oh, the embryologist couldn't have said better things before we got there. It was looking great. The cells were tightly packed. The edges were clear. All these things that you've never heard of before, that now, like, if I hear those words, I'll be like, oh, don't talk about tightly packed cells. I've just got bad flashbacks. And then we said to the doctor after he did it, oh, so does this give us a better chance? And he was like, well, not really, you know. And now what I say to people and what I've been led to believe is the grading is literally your likelihood of, if that embryo gets frozen, it will defrost and be viable. That is it. When it comes to a fresh transfer, I was probably an ungraded embryo, you know, like in nature, like you don't get graded embryos. Like I had one friend who was like, oh, if your embryo wasn't as good, you know, does that mean there'll be something wrong with the baby? Which I was a bit like, potentially, but not down to its grading. And there's nothing, like, you know, it's quite a question that you're like, wow, okay, you went there. But like, she is a close friend and she was just being very curious. So yeah, the grading, I can't lie, it did mess with my head a little bit. After the first round, I was like, this one has to stick because the others can't be frozen. And with this round, I was like, this one probably won't stick. So let's start thinking about round three. But I still did all my things. I still wore my warm socks. I still ate my McDonald's fries, best part of it. I don't know how I have a tongue left after eating all of that pineapple core. I had so many Brazil nuts and I absolutely hate them. I was eating fermented, like all the things that, let's be real, you could go out and get drunk and smoke cigarettes for the next month and still be pregnant. With IVF, there are these things that you do, these rites of passage that you just can't help. And the biggest thing, and I say this because at the time of recording yesterday, Sean Locke died. And I said on Twitter, he got me pregnant because I watched 8 out of 10 Cats because it just makes me laugh so much. And I lay there in my 2 week wait with my fermented food, my kimchi, my sauerkraut, laughing my ass off, chewing on Brazil nuts. So my embryo transfer was on a Wednesday. It was the Saturday evening. I felt this like pinching inside. I was like, that's weird. Could be anything. Could be my uterus shrinking back down. Could be my ovaries. But also I at that point got hope, which is stupid. And we still don't know. And if you are in your 2 week wait and you don't feel a pinching, please don't think you have to feel a pinching. And then on the Sunday, I just felt drained. And on the Monday, I had to go to the post office, which is what I pretty much do every other day as a blogger anyway. And I remember just feeling so weak in the queue. But I was only 12 days post trigger shot. And you're meant to leave 14 days post the type of trigger shot that I took because it contains HCG, which is the pregnancy hormone taken from the urine or the placenta of pregnant women, I believe. Don't Google what's in Menopure. But I got a pregnancy test and my husband was like, don't do it because if it's positive, it could be a false positive. But if it's negative, it could be too soon. And I was like, I know, but I'm going to do it. Did it positive. I was like, OK, we have to wait till Wednesday at 8 p.m. That's exactly 2 weeks. And then we got to the Wednesday at 8 p.m. And I'd been peeing every half hour because I didn't actually know at the time I was suffering with OHSS. I was drinking so much water because I wasn't actually feeling good, like even more so. So, you know, couldn't hold the pee in, had the like test turn up from Amazon because they weren't in the supermarket anywhere. They literally turned up at the time. I was like, I have to go now. I have to pee. Got the faintest, you know, first response, you know, everyone's best friend, the 2 week wait's best friend, because that's the most sensitive test. And I just was like, I can't believe, like, how am I going to sleep tonight? Because I have to do one tomorrow morning. Like, did one in the morning, did one every day for about 7 more days. I still got all the 6 with their little how far post-transfer they were. I just, oh, and then it was convincing myself it was ectopic. Then I was very unwell. So actually I managed to get a scan at about 5 weeks because I had OHSS. So the clinic were like, there's something wrong if you're feeling short of breath and you're feeling unwell. And they saw the little gestational sac and it wasn't in my fallopian tube. And I was just like, oh, wow, okay. And every scan it's like, is the baby still there? Like, I'm sure everyone who listens to this will know that headspace of like, oh, I've made all of this up, haven't I? Like, I'm seeing something on the screen and everyone in the room is just indulging me and like it's not real and like I've drawn this line on the test and it's not going to stick. And it's, oh yeah, it was a time.
It's so surreal, isn't it? It really is.
Unbelievable. Especially after the first round where I also had a positive test, but I then started bleeding and I was like, it's just implantation bleeding. And it just wouldn't stop. And then the test became negative and I was like, this one can't. My lower back was sore, like, but you're also putting, sorry for the graphic, but you're putting progesterone up your asshole at the same time. And that is a horrible drug because A, it does help you keep a pregnancy. There's so much research done that is so good for you, but also it can mimic a lot of pregnancy symptoms. So you're like, are my boobs veiny because I'm pregnant or is it because I've just put more progesterone up me? Like, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, it's a lot. So how did the OHSS affect you?
So I had moderate OHSS, which actually I was quite shocked because I only got 5, I had, I think, 11 follicles, but only 5 eggs that were able to be fertilized. So not many. The day of turning 5 weeks was the day I had the scan. And it was in that week I was sat down and I was out of breath. And I remember walking somewhere and I was just so out of breath. I just felt unwell, like I just felt run down, but also I was emotionally gone. Like, we were convinced this round wouldn't work. We were told I had a polyp and COVID was kicking off again. So it was like, when will I ever get an operation for that? When will this ever happen? Like, planning for the third round, like, just everything's like not as many eggs as I was hoping. Like, everything just felt like bad news. So I didn't know what was me and what was the OHSS. But the biggest thing was the breathlessness. And then when they scanned me, there was just a lot of fluid there, like a lot of fluid left behind. And they said, oh, you need to go on sofa rest and drink a lot. And then my cat got missed, like went missing and got hit by a car and had her hips broken. And I had to go looking for her in the snow for like a day. And my husband had broken his toe and we're out there like the walking wounded. I'm like clutching my stomach and I was like, I know that there's the baby in there and I don't want to lose the baby, but also I can't not look for my cat. And Robbie's there like hobbling along behind me, like, honestly, you couldn't. It's like a really bad, terrible movie that, like, I don't know, Vince Vaughn is Robbie and I'm Jennifer Aniston, like, we're, just, we're there like every tragedy thrown at us, like, we just, yeah, she's alive for now. But yeah, like we went missing because it was snowing and we had to look for her. And yeah. So would not recommend any of these things.
No. And it's always the way, isn't it? Like, everything happens at once, doesn't it? Even if you try and avoid it. Well, so much of that is, you know, beyond your control as well. But it's good, you know, OHSS, which is ovarian hyperstimulation, to anyone who, that's a new term, it can be ultimately quite life-threatening. And it's the first time I've heard, really, I guess I always consider it being something that happens to people who have like multiple, like literally tens, 20s, 30 follicles and eggs, you know, collected. But, you know, that's a fairly reserved number. I didn't realize that it could happen then as well. So that's a like just interesting to hear and to make sure people are aware of it as well and the symptoms that come with it.
It was when they gave me like my sheet with all my information, the size of my ovaries, how far along I was, how much fluid I had, where it was, and then just said, oh, just, you know, contact 999 or walk in if it gets worse. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, why do I have to do that? Like, I just, yeah, I was really shocked. And they were like, well, if you just feel really, really dehydrated, really dizzy, which luckily I didn't. But I was like, I didn't realize the severity of it. I was just like, I'd heard of it. I've heard that's why I drink a lot of water. I don't suffer with PCOS, which is often, it is women who have PCOS and therefore have, like you say, all of those eggs. But I never thought it. Yeah, it was just very uncomfortable. I reckon it's just because I did two rounds so quickly together, but they, who knows, you know, I basically had a very small break before getting straight back in. And I think my body was just like, enough with this.
Yeah. Fair enough. And just to say, like, because I certainly don't want to scaremonger, like, I know of all the people that I know have had it, like, it's just more common than I was aware of, I guess. But I do only know a couple of people who have been hospitalized, and both of them were pregnant and have gone on to have very healthy pregnancies and babies as well. So, you know, it's just something to be aware of amongst all of this. So you got through that initial trimester. Talk to me about the rest of your pregnancy. Now, just to say that I know from your Instagram that exercise is quite a big part of your life, isn't it? And how did you feel about not exercising during the first trimester? Or did you not exercise during the first trimester? And how did you feel getting back into it?
Yes, so I basically work from home as a blogger, and therefore I'm not, you know, nipping to the station and walking around London or doing things like that. So for me, it was about leaving the house, moving my body, finding enjoyment. I found a lot of enjoyment in weightlifting. And when I was first told I'd probably need IVF and that I'd need to lose weight, I employed a PT not to give me diet tips or whatever, purely to keep me accountable. He wasn't there to judge my food. I'm not exercising to lose weight. It was just that weekly check-in, because that was for me a really good way to monitor my weight loss, knowing that someone would be checking in. And no judgment, it wasn't like, oh, you're not going to get a certificate or no certificates. He was just like, okay, well, this week you've actually gained a bit, but don't worry about it. Can you think, you know, maybe of a few things you can do for next week? And it's like, yeah, just a slightly smaller portion, you know, chocolate, but maybe only once a day instead of five times, who knows. So I absolutely have loved working out with him, and he's known my full journey from the get-go. He's known every scan. He's very comfortable with talking about all of the things and actually did his research on IVF more so than he already knew to better understand what I was about to go through, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And when I was going through my first round, he did so much research to check what kind of training we could do together. But I got so swollen that I actually was like, I just don't want to, like, I'm just so uncomfortable because of COVID and stuff, the gyms and everything shut down obviously several times. But during my second round and my early pregnancy, we were not allowed to work out together. I didn't tell him I was pregnant, and I was 8 weeks at my first session, and I turned up, and usually I train with a friend, but at that time it could only be two of us. A few weeks later it was then allowed to be more people, and I was like, oh, are you able to train the two of us? And like pointed up my tummy, and honestly he was so thrilled. It was so nice. Felt like I was telling my gym husband, as my other husband, like all the men in my life who've got me pregnant, basically Sean Locke, the embryologist, my PT. I like to thank them all. There's a lot of them. But yeah, so he is so intuitive and switched on, and he understood that at 8 weeks I had barely done anything, barely done any walking. I was absolutely terrified this embryo would just drop right out of me. There'd been so much intervention at me, I don't know what was going on down there anymore. And he just said, realistically, your body is going to protect the embryo, your muscles are going to protect the embryo, and as long as we don't do anything you haven't done before, anything that's too strenuous or anything too heavy, your body will be able to do it, but let's just see how you go. So, oh my God, the weightlifting I was doing in that session, I was terrified. I wouldn't squat, I wouldn't lie on my back and do bench pressing, like I wouldn't do anything that tensed my muscles. I was terrified. Like, and it's gone from that to now weeks and weeks and months later, and I'm back to lifting about 70 kilos in, not quite a deadlift, but I don't bend down that far. And like, I'm back to feeling so much more confident in my body, so much stronger. Like my aim with it all is to hit the ground running as much as I can when the baby's here. I don't know what kind of birth is going to happen. Like, I don't know if I'm going to develop sciatica or have a very brutal C-section, you know, very emergency C-section that could, you know, write me off for a little bit. But my aim is to just keep my heart rate good, you know, my blood pressure's been good at every appointment. It's to make help me sleep better. It's to give me the confidence that hopefully when baby is here, I will be good to pick them up and go and baby wear and do stuff, and I'll have kept my body strong. Like my lower back's been feeling really strong. And for me, there's no judgment in what anyone does in pregnancy in terms of eating, exercising, because you are so scared and everything is so different. And for some of us, the thought of exercise isn't fun, or being in a gym, especially during COVID, and doing all sorts of things, it isn't fun. But I feel so confident. My PT's done so much research and he's trained pregnant women that then that's led me to be able to train on my own without him and know what I can do. If I stick to my weightlifting and my things that I know and a bit of sledge pushing and a bit of walking, I just feel like me and baby and my body, we're all getting, you know, the things we need. And yeah, hopefully I can just, when baby is a few months or a few years old, I can go back to doing all of the lifting stuff that I was doing, which I really enjoy. I don't even know if I answered your question. Sorry, I just went off on
my PT. And you know what, as you were saying some of that, you know, I was thinking it's a bit like when people are asking for advice about IVF or like anything to do with fertility, that kind of thing. And it's like, speak to the people who know you, speak to the medical professional with your file in front of them. Like, you are talking to your PT, who sounds like exactly the right person for you and has done amazing research to support you. And it's like, he knows you, you know, kind of, I want to say inside and out, but because of all the fertility stuff, that kind of feels weird. But you know what I mean.
I feel like I've told him a lot, so you know, well, yeah, he's probably so, gonna draw a map of it.
But you know, and that's so important, and it is about how you feel. And like, I smiled when you first said weight training. Like, I did a lot of weight training before I was pregnant when we were having a break from our treatment, because I went through this whole like, I want to make my body feel good. Like, and I had this kind of strong, not skinny mantra. I had put on weight because of treatment and everything else. And I really wanted to make my body good at something, because it wasn't being good at getting pregnant. And do you know what? It was the best I ever felt. And I have tried to get back into it, because then I got out of the routine of exercise during our treatment and during pregnancy. I didn't do an awful lot. And I'm trying to get back into it even now, 2 years later. Like, I've made a few attempts and I can't. So I love the idea of you kind of maintaining that as much as possible all the way through. But also what I love is that you are like, that's your plan, but you're also, you are kind of open-minded enough to realize that we don't know what might happen. And, you know, things might hold that plan up for a little while or change, or, you know, but it's kind of like, this is your mission at the moment. And then you're going to go with it, which is brilliant, brilliant. I know it's not advice that you were giving necessarily, but I think from the other side, that's like a really, really good attitude to have, I have to say.
Yeah, I think Jack, my PT, is so, every week he checks in how I am, if we're doing something new or lifting a bit, like we're not trying to lift heavier each week, but we just go up incrementally with sets and we see how I feel. Because I had my second COVID jab the other day, I've been feeling a little bit knackered after it. So I've got a session tomorrow and we'll just see how I feel. If I'm still feeling tired, we'll just do maybe higher reps, lower weights. But he always checks in how I feel. If I'm like, oh, he's like, you're right. I'm like, no, I've just been kicked. You know, I'm fine. Like, if I need to cancel last minute, he is so intuitive with it. I'd also just like to say that I know I'm in a very privileged position to be seeing a PT once a week. And like you, I've been asked advice, or people sort of take, oh, okay, I should be doing what you're doing. I just want to say, in pregnancy, the best thing you can do personally is, if you can find the money to maybe have one, maybe two sessions, and that's it, with someone who give you the confidence, and check with your midwife what you can do. Because the advice I was given is, don't pick up anything new, don't get too out of breath, don't overexert yourself too much, but anything that you've previously done is fine. And please remember that exercise isn't just lifting up weights, it's walking, it's swimming, it's walking your dog. Like, exercise doesn't have to be in a gym environment. Anything where you move your body and maybe elevate your heart rate or just push yourself a bit further is exercise. For me, I don't like walking, so I pick up weights and put them back down on the floor again over and over. Some might say that's madness. I love it. Yeah, for some people it's a free YouTube video of pregnancy yoga. So yeah, it's, everyone's so different. I feel like sometimes, especially with IVF, people are like, you did these things, I need to do them too. No, many paths to the baby. Many paths.
Yeah, totally, totally. I get that. One of the other things that you do talk about and you do promote, which is brilliant, is, you know, kind of body confidence and body kind of the changes that come with it. And there's a post in particular that I've got in mind about kind of people commenting on our bump sizes and shapes and that kind of thing, and how actually massively inappropriate that is, and how we really need to try and not listen to people when they're talking, you know, just like making comment. I think sometimes we just, as a human race, just like to make conversation, but actually sometimes it can be really, really inappropriate, can't it? And how do you deal with that? How do you, you know, do you wobble with that sometimes, or are you wholly confident in your body and how it's changing? Or,
oh, I wobble in all senses. I definitely found, because I went from being this sort of body confident blogger who then had to lose weight, and I didn't want to publicly put that, and I had quite a few followers being like, you look like you've lost weight, have you done it, that whole like, have you done it, which I'm like, well, there's no one size fits all to weight loss, or else we'd all have some secret. Everyone has to do it differently. Please don't think I've got some magic thing. But I kept being like, oh, no. Like, this is just my body kind of thing, because I didn't really want to draw attention to anything that might be going on before I was ready to talk about it. And then watching those scales go down towards finally what was for a reason, that wasn't just vanity or thinking that a magical number would make me happy, towards what was going to be the BMI that would get me treatment, that would get us a baby, hopefully. And watching my body change, and actually, you know, you can't help it. As much as I'm in that body happy, body neutral headspace, I couldn't help but be like, oh, I am looking slimmer. Oh, okay. And then watching the scales now go back up, because I do still check my weight, not for anything apart from if they weigh me, I just don't want a shock. You know, if I have to go in and they're like, right, let's just get you on the scales, I just want to know what it says. And then watching my body change back after the treatment, you know, you get so bloated and horrible with the IVF, and then watching my body be pregnant but not look pregnant, and is she fat or is she pregnant? And now it's like very visibly, well, now when I sit down, it is a bit of a beer gut. I can't lie, like I am chubby, and like when I go to my NCT class, I'm like, I'm just the fat one there. The rest of them are just bump and person. I feel like mine is still a bit like, oh, she's the fat one. And that's fine. Someone is the fatter one in the room. Doesn't make me a bad person or a worse person or a less valid person. But I've definitely struggled with my body. I definitely worry about when the baby's here, like how I'm going to feel, because my body will have no longer have that baby in there. There's no reason for it to look pregnant and big, and you know, what's my headspace going to be, and how am I going to pose for photos with my beautiful new baby and not look horrible and massive and worn out. It is a hard headspace. Like, society has really drilled into us this idea that we need to always be thinner, we need to snap back after we have a baby, we need, like, dad bods, perfectly fine, they didn't carry the baby but they're allowed a bit of pooch, but us, we have to snap back and we have to not look like we've had a baby at least 1 hour after having a baby, like maximum. And yeah, I've definitely struggled. I've definitely not really wanted to say how far along I am for fear that if someone's like, blimey, God, when I was 5 months, I was barely showing. You sure it's just one? You know, like, because I am so nervous that, like, I'm preempting that headspace that I'll get myself to. And it's hard with pregnancy. I don't know if people listening feel the same way after fertility treatment. Your body changes so much in fertility treatment that makes you look pregnant. And that is the cruelest thing imaginable. And then when you actually are pregnant, you should feel so grateful. But I personally have been bloated from the get-go. I only started documenting photos several months in because I was like, I just look the same every week. Like, there's no growth because I'm still just losing the puff of IVF. And you want to be so grateful, but also, like, you've maybe done loads of exercise or eaten really well, in inverted commas, before IVF, because you've had to get to that space. So you are then like, oh God, this is the one thing I want. This is the one thing I've changed my whole body and my whole lifestyle for. But this body is no longer something I recognize, but in the best way, for the best reason. But diet culture is still just in my ear about it, or following people online who are there with their tiny little bumps. And I'm here like, oh, I haven't seen my feet in months. I don't even know if I've got them anymore. Like, it's just, yeah, it does mess with your head, like, all of it. But I'm just trying to be like, there's a baby in there. I'm feeling them moving. I'm going to meet them soon. And once they're here, oh, if I need to change my body to make my brain happy, I can. Or maybe I just need to change my brain to make myself happy about my body. Who knows? Sorry, again, I went off on one. I really hope that's kind of cobbled together.
Totally, totally. And your body is doing such an incredible thing right now, you know, and that, I know it's easy to sit here and say, you know, like, that should be the focus, but that should be the focus. You know, it's not about what size or what shape it is, or, you know, like, be it your body or your bump, you know, it's really about making sure that you are happy and you are healthy. And the fact that you're exercising through all of this, like, to anyone, whatever kind of shape or size they are, you know, I think that's a really good thing in preparation for birth as well. I remember one of the fertility nurses at my clinic saying to me, you know, it's called labor because it's really bloody hard, and any exercise that you're doing, and that's to do with, you know, your cardiovascular system and also, you know, your muscles and even kind of, you know, your brain exercise that you might do in preparation, whether that be meditations or, you know, affirmations, you know, that's all helping prepare you for giving birth, which is really important. And then hopefully, like, you know, I'm saying for you, because you have been exercising, hopefully that is definitely going to kind of, you know, stand you in really good stead for whatever you decide, you know, you want your body to look like after you've had your little one. Although I would say, give yourself a little bit of time. Yeah. And it doesn't happen, like, Ren is just over two and I'm still a stone and a half heavier than I was when I went into that round of treatment. And I have tried to get back into exercising. And do you know what? I don't know whether it's age. I don't know whether it's baby. I don't know whether it's COVID, and everything definitely hasn't helped. But I just am struggling, actually, even now, to get back into it. And I've got so much more of a sweet tooth than I ever had before Ren as well, which is not helping any of that. But Ren's here.
But you say that, but you've got a toddler. I cannot imagine you're sat on your bum all day. Like, that's the thing. I think with exercise, we're always beating ourselves up because we're not doing a 5K run. Gross. My husband runs 100 miles a week on a good week. He is disgusting. That will go in the divorce proceedings because I can't abide it. No, but you know, it's not people. I think people always associate exercise with the gym. Like at our NCT the other day, they went round and said, like, what's the exercise you've done this week? And I think there were only two of us who said we'd been to the gym, and everyone else was like, oh, I don't like the gym. So all I did was, like, you know, a couple of dog walks a day. And I was like, you're doing more exercise than me. I don't do a couple of dog walks a day. Sod that. Like, be lucky if I walk up the road to the post office. Like, common theme, I go to the post office a lot. Okay. Always returning a parcel, always picking something up. But yeah, I think, like, you might say that, but, like, and I know it's hard to get your headspace right, especially if you were doing certain things before. And I know seeing the scales change, it's hard, and I totally get that. But also, you're not sat on a bench watching your toddler run around you like a two-year-old. You are picking her up, you are pushing her on a swing, you are taking her out, you are crouching down. You know, think of, like, in yoga where they make you squat and hold things. If you're crouching down and doing her shoes up for 30 seconds, you're putting your flex, you're being flexible and doing things. Like, that is exercise. Yeah, that's what I'm relying on.
Well, totally. And you know what, as far as weight is concerned, yes, I would like to lose that stone and a half, but equally, it's just not my priority at the moment. It's something that crosses my mind fairly regularly, but it's just not my priority. And I'm kind of okay with that as well. So yeah, it just changes, I think. As experience changes, as age changes, as the world changes, you know, because that all impacts us, doesn't it? We just have to, yeah, go with how we're feeling at the time, really. One last thing, if you don't mind sharing, and completely up to you, you mentioned earlier on that you had your second COVID jab. Now, obviously, this is a relatively controversial subject because there's so many people who are left wondering what to do. But do you want to talk to us about your feelings around that at all?
Yeah, so if I were not pregnant, would not have given it a second thought. I had my flu jab last year, you know, at some point, and that was a very new jab, and it's now a routine thing that we all get. But when it came about that, you know, we were getting jabs, I went to my, I think it would have been like my 8-week appointment, and my midwife was like, we don't advise pregnant women to get it at the moment. Fair enough. To my 16-week appointment, she said, if you were on, because that was when I think it was coming out that more and more pregnant women were taking it, having live births, you know, they were obviously still seeing, unfortunately, like, losses and deaths, but no more than usual, which is so awful to say, but, you know, there was no link, nothing to say that it was linked to the jab. It was just, unfortunately, that is what happens if we're going cold hard statistics with it. And she said, you know, at my 16-week appointment, if you were out and about and getting the train to London every day, I would recommend you get it, but you aren't, you don't have to do all of those things, so just keep your distance, wear your mask, etc. And it was then a different midwife at my, I think, 24-week appointment, or 20-week appointment. Oh, they all merge into one. And she was like a bit older, a bit more like, my one is very like calm and like very sweet, my midwife. There's nothing wrong with her, but their approaches, you could tell, were very different. And this one was like, you absolutely have to get it, you absolutely have to protect yourself, like, if you catch COVID in the third trimester, that could be awful. And I can't remember if the Delta variant was sort of rearing its ugly head at that time, but she just said, and you need to get it now because you need it 8 weeks apart and you don't want it too close to when you're having baby. So you just need to make sure you've got those two jabs, you know, as soon as possible. And I was like in bits, like I couldn't cope. Like Robbie, my husband, was very like, you have to get it. Like, there's nothing to say. And I was like, I just feel so terrified. Like, imagine if everything we've done to get this baby to this point is like gone because of this jab. And he's like, there's just no evidence, like they wouldn't have produced the jab, we have to trust science. As one of my friends said, like, science got you pregnant, you have to trust science, you have to trust, there are always going to be stories and there are always going to be people who say that you shouldn't get it. My heart goes out to anyone who's pregnant who right now is struggling, because I struggled so bad. I don't judge anyone. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I've had the jab and you should have it too, because oh my god, like, even like putting my seatbelt on the first time in my car after I found out I was pregnant, I was like, am I going to do something to my stomach? So like, you know, the fear, and the fear after infertility, the fear that it's just so fragile and there's just this one thing you might do and that could be it. Or But it was just then weighing up. I think the Delta variant did ramp up at that point. And it was just like, if I catch this variant, there are cases of women being severely ill or having to have their babies very early or having to be put in comas. There's a blogger called Grace Victory who had to deliver her baby, I think, 6 weeks early and then was in a coma for 2 months because she had COVID. She missed 2 months of her baby's life. Like, there was question over if she would recover. Happy to say, full recovery, baby's fine. But still, that's 2 months that she won't get back. And it was weighing up in my mind, there's no right answer. We've never seen a virus like this before. The vaccine had to be rolled out quickly to combat it. There are going to be doubts and things that go wrong. There isn't an option. The other option is I try not to catch COVID, but I'm in hospitals all the time at the moment. I'm going for scans. The world is opening up. People are getting closer to you in supermarkets. Like, I could have then shielded, but it's like, but how long could I shield for? I'm getting extra tests because I'm pregnant and extra scans and diabetes tests and stuff. So then I went for the first one, freaked myself out completely afterwards, had a small panic attack on the sofa because Robbie went out for a run. I was like, who do I call if I'm not breathing properly? Absolutely was fine, achy arm. And with the second one, so they're both Pfizer, I the same, have just had an achy arm and been really tired, but also pregnant, growing an organ, growing a human, who's to say? So yeah, my advice is speak to your midwife, speak to your medical team, either go for Moderna or Pfizer if possible, because AstraZeneca, they say, is more for people who aren't pregnant. And I think it's over 50s or over 40s now. And I don't envy anyone having to make the decision because I still am scared. But my hope is that now, having had a friend catch COVID in her third trimester with one jab and be very unwell for a few days, she's now had a baby, it's all good. I feel like I made the right decision, had the whooping cough vaccine as well. We'll be giving baby injections when they're here. Science is wonderful, vaccines are great. We don't have polio anymore because of it. And, you know, it's just one of those things. The world is in turmoil right now with so much, and the virus is unprecedented, and we can't give it normal headspace because we've never had anything like this in our lifetime. So unless there are some 300-year-olds listening, in which case, hi. Yeah.
Oh, it's like a snapshot into the brain of someone who is like, and I, you know, like, not in a pregnancy way, but even like going into my fertility treatment, I was a bit like that. Do I, don't I, what do I do, what if, you know? It's like, it's just, oh, it's just an absolute minefield, isn't it? And you're right, we don't know definitively what's the right or wrong answer. There is the right or wrong answer for ourselves. And please, please make sure that you are looking at up-to-date information. So we're recording this in August, but it won't go out till September, you know, and make sure. And I always send people to the RCOG so that they can. And I'll put a link in the bio because they send out regular updates about their kind of COVID vaccination guidelines. But it's such a personal decision, but it's so difficult, isn't it? It really is a difficult one. Although you make a very good case for having had it, so which I totally, totally hear and respect for sure. So that's amazing. Thank you so much, George. I thought I'd use the alternative for joining me and just being so open. For anyone who wants to come and check out your inspirational photography, I just love it. Like, whether it's a plus size thing, but whether it's a pregnancy thing, like, it's just like beautiful, the photography that you've got on your Instagram. And certainly, like, if people are thinking maternity shoots, like, your bump pictures are just stunning. So if you people want to come and check that out, as well as the amazing kind of written content as well, where can they find you on Instagram?
Thank you so much. I am full of figure, full of bust, bit of a mouthful, but it fits the bill. And please, if you are pregnant, take photos. That is my sign off. Even if you never share them on the internet, even if you never even share them with your partner, please document your bump, because the amount of people I've now had commenting being like, I wish I'd done pregnancy photos. I've even got a birth photographer. So, you know, I want to document everything, and whether or not all of these photos see the light of day is completely up to myself and indeed Robbie. But I do not want to regret that I didn't document a single thing of this thing that I never thought would happen. I'm already buying things to make footprints and handprints when baby is here. I want to keep their umbilical cord. I want to keep everything. I've got a baby book. So please document, especially, you know, people who've gone through infertility, you know how this headspace is mad. Please take photos of your bump, even if it's just in your mirror, please. don't let that bump be forgotten, because you will thank yourself in a few years' time, I guarantee.
Yeah, and I can, being on the other side of it, I can concur that that is very, very true, for sure. So thank you so, so much. And hang on a minute, I just have to mention, very jealous of the birth photographer. Wish I had even known that that existed. So well done you for getting that booked. I love that. Love that. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, just looking forward to following the rest of your pregnancy journey and looking forward to hearing when little one arrives.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.